if you will move and you will move toward me, keeping your eyes on King Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, he will know how to get you home and take you to where you ought to be. Did you know we're all on a journey? We're all on a pilgrimage. And when it comes to our Christian faith, this pilgrimage must be done by faith. Abraham illustrates that as we go through the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. So we called it the pilgrimage of faith. We want to see how Abraham's journey affects your journey and my journey today. This is Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative. I am so excited about this series. I hope you're excited with us as we get God's perspective on our journey with him. Let's get to the Word of God right now, and let's find out how Abraham relates to us. We're going to learn three things about Abraham today and his walk of faith. That if you want to experience God at a whole new level by faith, it will involve a leaving, a living, and a looking. If you want to experience God as you've never experienced him before, as you move by faith, it will involve a leaving, a living, and a looking. Let's start with the leaving. Because verse 8 tells us, by faith, when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place. Now, this is described for us in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 13, when God told Abraham, I want you to leave your city, your community, your house, and even your people. And I want you to go to a place that I'm not going to tell you about yet. Said he didn't know where he was going. All he knew is God told him to leave without knowing where God was taking him. Why is God telling him to leave Ur of the Chaldees? Why is God telling him to move away from family and friends and the things he grew up with? Well, to understand that, you have to understand chapter 11, the chapter that precedes God calling him. In chapter 11, the whole world has rebelled against God. A man named Nimrod, an African that you shouldn't be proud of, led the whole world in rebellion against God. The Tower of Babel established the religion of humanism, man-centered religion. It says that they gathered together as one people to build a civilization, and right in the center of the city, they built a tower, that is a ziggurat, that is a worship steeple. And they said, we will build our tower to the heavens. We don't need God. We've got intelligence, brains, reason, science, technology. We can build this thing ourselves. We don't need God. We don't need God to help us. In fact, we're going to build this thing so high, we're going to show God we can get to him. Of course, Genesis 11 says, and when God looked down and saw what men were doing, he came down. So I don't care how high you get, how much money you make, how much notoriety you amass, God's got to come down because you ain't getting but so high. God came down and said, now look at them fools. Look at what they're trying to do. It says, they are seeking, God said, to build a name for themselves. Why? Because they don't want to carry my name. It's like a wife who says, look, I'm going to marry you, but I ain't going to wear your name. We want religion, but we don't want you. We want a man-centered religion. So he's in a context of worldwide paganism. Joshua 24:2 says that he was raised in a family of idols. So they worship idols. They worship false gods. So they had religion, but it wasn't the true God. God says, I have something for you to do. I've got a plan for you, Abraham. But in order for me to fill my plan, you got to leave here. In other words, stay with me. If you want to see where I want you to go, I'm not going to show you where I'm taking you till you leave where you are. You cannot stay here and have me. You cannot stay around paganism and have me. You cannot stay around humanism and have me. So you've got to leave and you got to trust me that I know where I'm taking you, even though I'm not telling you. See, a lot of us are like this. Okay, God, show me where you're taking me, and then I'll let you know if I'm going. Of course, that's sight. And if you have sight, it's not faith. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? I don't live in Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees represents worldliness. Worldliness. That is paganness. God says in 1 John 2 and John 15, he says, if you are friends with the world, you are an enemy of God. And he tells that to his disciples. If you hang out with the world, you can't have me. God has called every Christian to leave worldliness. He's not called us to leave the world. That is to not live in society, not work in society, not have responsibility in society. No, but worldliness is different. Worldliness are attitudes and actions that leave God out. You're worldly when there are attitudes and actions where God is dismissed from. God has saved us out of this world. What motivated him to leave? God said, I have an inheritance for you. Says he left to get his inheritance. An inheritance is like a will. It's something bequeathed to you. Every head of a household ought to have a will. You have a will. Let me tell you a secret. You're going to die. If Jesus doesn't come, you're going to die. Not having a will not going to keep you alive longer. All right? So every head of a household should have a will. But an inheritance is something bequeathed to you. God says, I have a will for you. I have an inheritance for you. I have a plan for you. Or as we said in our series, we have a destiny for you. God has something for every believer here. If you are a Christian, he has a purpose that he wants you to fulfill. But he will not show you your destiny if he can't get you to leave the world. As long as you're hanging on to the world, you're at enmity against God. God cannot communicate with you. So you won't hear heaven talk. You won't get answered prayers. You won't get direction. You'll be aimless. Because your affections are not with him, they are elsewhere. You visit him on occasion, but you live with affections and actions that leave him out. In fact, one of the ways you know you're growing as a Christian is when your passion for the world is dying and your passion for him is growing. He says, you must leave this paganism that doesn't include me without me giving you all the details. You're going to have to walk by faith and believe I know where I'm taking you. The problem was, or is, that that's where he was born. That's where he grew up. That's where all his people are. That's where his businesses were. The Bible says he was a filthy rich guy. That's where all of his activities were. So it's hard to leave something you've grown up in. Because that informs your frame of thinking. But it says when he heard the voice of God, he obeyed and left because his inheritance was more important than his current location. So here's the decision we have to make. That is, if you really want to experience God, is what God has for you more important than where you are? Oh, Abraham said, I don't know the details. I know you gave me this general outline, but you haven't given me any details. But even though I don't know where I'm going, I believe you know where you're taking me. So I'm going to risk leaving the things I know best and love most. Here's the question. Do you love the world so much you're willing to lose your destiny? Because God knows where he wants to take you. But you must be willing to leave say goodbye. Hebrews 13:13 says, you must go outside of the camp where Jesus is. Jesus died outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where Judaism was. He went outside the camp and died. It says, you can't stay in just a religious environment and not be willing to be identified with Jesus Christ and bear his reproach and expect to hear from God. You have to go outside the camp. That is, you can't be just part of the system. He based his life on a promise. Unless you leave the old, you will never discover what God has for you in the new. So the question is, what do you want? Do you want him, or you want to hang out where you are and not have him? So the first thing you need to know is that your life of faith will require a leaving of worldliness, desires and actions that are in conflict with God. Secondly, your life of faith from this superstar of faith will involve a living, a leaving and then a living. Notice this, verse 9. By faith he lived, see that? By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Wow. He left and then he lived. Now watch this. It says he lived in the land of promise as a foreigner and an alien. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. Watch this now. He left. He left Ur of the Chaldees, paganism. He is now in the land God is promising him. Okay? God promised him a land. But in the land that he's now in and living in, he's living as an alien and a foreigner in the middle of a promise. You see a little contradiction there? God made him a promise. He starts by faith walking to the promise. He winds up in the middle of the promise, but still can't make it home. It's not home yet. It's a promise, but it's not a long-term location yet because he's living like an alien. Okay, here it is. God is always doing two things at one time related to your life and mine. Here are the two things. He's preparing the promise for you, and he's preparing you for the promise. Okay? Whatever your inheritance is, whatever your destiny is in time and eternity, but this is time, whatever he has planned for you in time is being made ready.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans.
I'm standing on 20 acres that we hope one day will be used for the expansion of the Urban Alternative to develop ministry training centers for pastors, pastors' wives, for ministry leaders, for families who want to grow deeper in understanding God's blueprint for the family, and for people who just want to grow in their faith. This training center will be used to provide teaching and training on building kingdom disciples. It's a beautiful opportunity on a beautiful 20-acre piece of property to make a difference for the kingdom of God nationwide and worldwide. So as you can see, our vision is strong. I'm more motivated than ever to see God do exceedingly abundantly above all that he has done in the past. You see, I believe the best for this ministry is yet to come. I am excited about what God's going to do, and we are just getting started.
Now return to today's message.
But he's also got to get you ready. So that when the promise and the plan and the destiny is realized, you don't mess it up because you weren't ready. Now watch this. You have no control over the promise part. Over the part that's not you. God is doing that over here. You can't control that. You have a control over the person part. God could have the promise, you'll find this in the third sermon, he could have the promise waiting for you to show up. But if you still like Lot's wife looking over your shoulder, if you still haven't left, then he doesn't hook it up. So on my side and your side, we could be delaying the promise while waiting for the promise. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. Watch this. When you read Genesis chapter 12, chapter 13, Abraham is 75 years old. 75 years old. His breakthrough doesn't come for 25 years. It's going to take him 25 years for God to break this thing through. That's when Isaac appears. That's next week's sermon. You're going to find out how Sarah and Isaac got a hookup at 100 years old. All right. Super Viagra. That's what that's called. Okay. So you're going to find out how they got this hookup. Okay. It took him 25 years between when he told him I'm going to do something and when he did it. Why did it take 25 years? It took 25 years because Abraham wasn't ready yet. Abraham was lying, cheating, had an affair with his handmaiden, had a baby out of wedlock. Abraham needed some development. And God was not about to give him a miracle without a development. He was not about to give him his destiny until he came to his senses, grew in his faith. But that's good news and hope for you and me. Because that means when we have not learned to live by faith, God will hang out till we get the message. And he'll keep us hanging out, circling the airfield in the neighborhood of the promise until he's ready to land us because we've grown. So one of your major reasons to want to leave Ur of the Chaldees, the world, and want to live in God's presence and move quickly in obedience is so you can get what he has as soon as he can give it because you're ready for it. God, why is that such a big deal? Because God doesn't want to give you a destiny that will cause you to forget him. He says, as a foreigner and an alien. The Bible says that you and I are foreigners and aliens here. So watch this now. God does not want you to be too attached. You know, it doesn't all lay out smoothly. He does this and does turns. Like we talked about, Joseph detours in destiny. He does. So he never let him settle in because he wasn't ready yet. Never let him settle down. He kept him a little off kilter. God says, if I'm going to take you to your inheritance, I've got to develop you for your inheritance. And when I develop you for your inheritance, keep your shoes on light because I'm going to send you through some stuff. I'm going to take you through some things. There are going to be some mountains. There are going to be some valleys, but they're all designed to develop you. I got my piece out here I'm going to take care of. I just got to get you right. Some of us are working on 50 years of things that should have been solved in 3 years. But we didn't pitch our tent and built us up a house that we ain't gonna move out of. And so God does not have flexibility with our lives. And so he can't grow us like he wants to grow us because we're not available for him to do his thing. But it says, by faith, Abraham was willing to live as an alien, to live as a foreigner, not become too attached, looking for God to change his scenario. And then the third one is a looking, verse 10. For he was looking, it says. He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He left the world. He no longer associated with that which left God out. He lived in the arena of the promise, but stayed fluid because he had to grow in that situation. Because before God gives you destiny, he always deals with development after having provided deliverance. So it's deliverance, development, destiny. And then it says the way he survived and the way you and I survive was where he looked. While he was living on earth, while he was waiting for the promise that was going to come on earth, namely a son born out of his old age, while he waiting for this, and it says he kept his eyes on heaven. He looked for a city whose builder and architect was God. That's the heavenly city. Okay, watch this. He wasn't going to heaven yet. He still had a lot of years to live on earth. But even though he wasn't going to heaven, he was looking at heaven. Because here's the secret. If you learn to look at heaven, you'll live better on earth. If you stop looking at heaven and only look at earth, you will be looking through bad glasses. Because you'll be living like this is all there is. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 2, this world is passing away. Watch this now. Don't hang on to this world too tight. See, that's why things get boring, because this world is passing away. That's why the drug addict has got to get more. That's why Satan offers more. He always ups the dosage because he knows this thing is passing away. So he got to up the dosage to keep you going and craving it. God says this world is passing away, so don't hinge your whole life onto this wagon. Because it's passing away, and guess what? We're passing away. So since this world is temporary, look eternally and it'll change your temporary movement. When you lose sight of heaven, your perspective will be ruined on earth. So when you read Genesis chapter 12 and 13, guess what you find? Over and over and over again, when it tells the story of Abraham in Genesis 12 and 13, it says everywhere he went, he built an altar. An altar is a worship place. He didn't just go to church. He carried an altar with him. So every time he was in a new situation, he built himself a worship place so he could keep his eyes on heaven in the middle of earth while waiting for promise as he was trying to develop. He said, God, it's you and me now. He can't pick up his altar, go to another place. Hey, worship. He picked up his altar. So if the only time you worship is on Sunday, you leaving your altar at church. The idea is to keep a spiritual perspective until God joins you in destiny, having left Ur of the Chaldees. Her name was Dorothy. And she was taken from home, a place called Kansas. She found herself in a foreign location with a wicked witch that wanted to destroy her life. But through a shift in scenarios, a good witch showed up. She said, I want to go home. The witch said, follow the yellow brick road. If you'll follow the yellow brick road, there's a person at the end of the road. He's called the Wizard of Oz. And if you'll follow the road will take you to the wizard, and the wizard will get you home. That witch gave her a different perspective of hope, that there was hope out there in Oz, but she had to follow the yellow brick road. So she developed a song. Follow the yellow brick road. And follow the yellow brick road, you know. She got a little pep in her step as she followed the yellow brick road. On her way to her destiny, she ran across some other messed up people too. As a messed up lion scared to death. As a tin man. He doesn't have a, which one with the brain, heart, was one of them. Oh, shut up. You got a straw man, all of them messed up. So guess what he does? She gets a small group together of messed up people. She said, why don't we be a small group? Let's just be a small group. We all messed up. Since we all messed up, we got different messes. Let's just be a small group and follow the yellow brick road. Now, on the way following the yellow brick road, there were problems. There was monkeys, crazy monkeys, monkeys coming out of nowhere, flying monkeys that tried to mess her up. There was enemies. There were all kind of problems, but she was told to follow the yellow brick road, because if you get to Oz, there is somebody in Oz who knows how to get you to where you need to go. She finally makes it to Oz, and when she makes it to Oz, the wizard says, he said, you closer than you think, girl. Because once you click your heels, once you make your statement, once you close your eyes, we'll turn this thing on a dime. And suddenly you and Toto are going to wake up where you came from because you follow the yellow brick road. God says, if you will leave where you are, if you will move and you will move toward me, keeping your eyes on King Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, he will know how to get you home and take you to where you ought to be. If you will leave the world, live under me and look toward me, I will deliver you home. So the question is, you want to keep hanging out in the world, or do you want to discover your destiny? But the only way to get there is by faith.
Wasn't that a great challenge today from God's Word? By faith, Abraham obeyed God. By faith, Sarah conceived. By faith, Moses led a people across the Red Sea. By faith. These two words are profound and interwoven throughout the pages of the book of Hebrews and various other places in the Bible. Today's message on Abraham was designed to help you personally live and lead by faith. To know what the life of a faithful follower of Christ looks like today, the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 were not extraordinary people, but ordinary men and women who chose to live an extraordinary life. Are you ready to challenge yourself to walk by faith? We hope you are. Today's lesson was part of a new compilation called The Best of Tony Evans 2015. It's a 12-part assortment of Tony's most popular, hard-hitting messages of the past year. And don't forget, right now we're making it available on CD as our gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. But be sure to contact us right away, since this offer is only available for a limited time. Just drop by TonyEvans.org, where you can get all of the details and make your donation online. It's also a great place to do your Christmas shopping, since all of our resources, from sermons to books to Bible studies, are all 25% off for the holidays. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or you can call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. We truly hope this message by Tony Evans has blessed you. If you would like to sign up for our free weekly devotional, stop by TonyEvans.org, where you can do that. And may your days ahead be greater than the days gone by. Have a very blessed and happy Christmas.